Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host today, Belinda Ellsworth, and we have got a very special show for you today. I have with me Jamie Shields, and she is the co-founder, along with her husband, of 18 Summers. They are on a clear mission in this lifetime to deepen relationships and improve education for entrepreneur families. She believes we can put the 18 summers we have with our children higher on our priority list, making memories and strengthening family bonds. In her many adventures as a professional educator, entrepreneur, mother, wife, homeschool parent, and mentor, Jamie has experienced firsthand the challenges that come along with balancing a well-rounded and joyful life. In short, Jamie and her husband, Jim, are on a mission to revolutionize family life. They want to help you enjoy your family more than the average parent, balancing success at work with success at home. After all, you only have 18 summers to make memories with your children. So welcome, Jamie.
Thank you so much, Belinda.
Wow. So why don't we just start out? This sounds exciting. I'm so looking forward to the show today. And fill in some of those gaps from your bio and tell us a little bit more about the journey. So how you kind of got to this place where you felt the need to start 18 Summers.
Oh, absolutely. I've always had a passion for education and for being an active part in my children's learning. We currently have 4 children, ages 2 through 15, and then we've collected a couple of children along the way, funny as that sounds, but we've ended up with a few extra, like, bonus children that maybe their families were going through a transition, and they were with us for a time, and so we're super fortunate to have been able to have that a part of our life. But I've always been passionate about education. And at each school my children would attend, I would take a position and I would learn from mentors and I would get really interested in the different pedagogies of alternative, you know, education of Waldorf and Montessori. I wanted to be as present and involved and supportive as I could possibly be from those opportunities and learning and diving deep into both Waldorf and education. I went on to run several public and private institutions in the state of Florida, all in alternative programs. I started or founded the only Waldorf-inspired charter school in the state of Florida, still now 8 years later. I, through working with these families, you know, as director and founder, I just saw so many needs. You know, there would be families coming to me with the same issues. How do I connect to my child? Or how do we get over this roadblock? How do we set boundaries? How do we enjoy? How do we simplify is a huge one. So I kept seeing some of these same rhythms here, not rhythms, but some of these same cycles coming through and really guiding parents through these. And at the same time, I was experiencing this in the classroom and in these formal situations. My husband, who is an entrepreneur of 25 years now, he was attending great educational opportunities, entrepreneurial educational opportunities, and he would be sitting in these classrooms thinking, wow, I wish I would have learned this sooner. You know, everything from financial intelligence to relationship skills to, you know, his own relationship with himself. And it was just amazing that he was seeing what maybe we need to know earlier that he was receiving later. And I was in a more formal structure seeing, gosh, these families keep hitting it's the same thing. And somehow through our conversations and then really strengthening our family, we realized that there was such a need and that we could marry these two ideas of what people need and maybe what they need sooner. So, you know, just bringing that alternative education, that awareness, that simplicity, the rhythms, and mindfulness into parenting has helped us help parents embrace more moments to connect and create the awareness for themselves.
Well, that is great. So tell us then, so how the business has shaped your lifestyle today.
Oh, gosh. So like I, through that long journey, I feel like it's been the opposite. You know, I think most people say, you know, how did this business shape your lifestyle? And really our lifestyle shaped our business. So being involved in our children's education, being aware of what they need as people, being aware of what we need as business owners, it really, I require a career that fits into my lifestyle. Being able to support other parents in education makes me even better at being an educator and a parent myself. I love to teach and mentor, but every single time I get to learn as well. It's incredibly fulfilling.
That's awesome. So let's talk now about a couple of your skill sets that you feel have really contributed to your overall success.
Oh, great question. I do feel like I was born with some serious hustle. I, as most people, you know, I say I'd had a hard childhood. I have a father that's an addict and a mother that was single. And I believe that having that situation created a strong desire in me to really hustle, to really create a strong family, to really keep goals in mind, to really keep moving forward and to have a positive attitude. I really believe that if one door closes, it's only because a better one's going to open. And if that door requires a special kind of knock and three keys, I will find a way to figure it out.
That is great. Why don't you share with us maybe one of your most outstanding accomplishments that is super meaningful for you?
I think the number one would be the charter school.
Okay.
As I mentioned earlier, the only Waldorf inspired public charter school in the state of Florida that I initiated and is now growing and running strong, which is really incredible. I'm no longer a part of it because we grew our family and my husband donated a kidney, but it is really neat to see something that you begin continue to grow with love from the community. Another thing that's been very important and made me really proud of myself because it's not a skill set that I own is self-publishing two books that both made it to number one internationally on Amazon, The Family Board Meeting. It is one of our frameworks for our 18 Summers company. So The Family Board Meeting is a book that it's a short read. It's like 190 pages, maybe takes you 90 minutes, 2 hours. And it's something that you can implement right away. And being that it wasn't even a book we were looking to write, but mentors and peers kept saying, wow, you should really share this. It's just something we did with our family. And people had to keep reminding us that sometimes what comes easy for us doesn't always come easy for others. Just like your skill set, Belinda, you know, I'm as I learn more about you, I think, wow, that's really impressive, especially at such a young age. And I think that to you, it's probably simple. Same thing with us. I think creating frameworks for the family are simple, but it's just a great book on how to connect deeper with your children. And you can really use it in any relationship, but it is The Family Board Meeting. And my husband, Jim Shields, is the main author on that book.
That is great. And you know what? It is a huge accomplishment to have a book, period, but then to have an international bestseller, it just is exciting and it's very rewarding. But kudos to you. I mean, congratulations, because it is, you know, gosh, writing a book and then marketing that book and then seeing it go to the top, it's like birthing a child. It's pretty exciting.
It absolutely is. And as soon as we did it, I wanted to do it again. I'm like, oh, I learned so much that time. Let me do this again. And so
that's so funny, like, because when I had my done, I said, we're not doing that again for a while. Yeah. The opposite. We were just because we're running the business at the same time and we were so busy and I was on the road traveling and I was meeting deadlines in hotel rooms and it just was like, woo. we will need to be in a different place to do, but we are getting ready to do it again. It's been 4 years for me. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to ramp it up again. But it's not an easy undertaking.
No. And I think it's just like having children, you know, you put enough time and space between it, you forget how bad it was.
That's exactly right.
Just kidding. And then you have another one. And then the high of the other one makes you think that you want more, but yeah, it's been really fun and I look forward to doing more of it.
Good. So then share with us an obstacle or challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
I just think that being in daily life as an entrepreneur and a mother, and the fact that both of those, you know, with our company being 18 summers and with us mentoring families, if I do my best and I show up for my family, then I'm going to be able to better show up and do my best for my work, and vice versa. Like the two are so closely intertwined, that, you know, we've truly created a space in which, I want it to be very seamless. You know, I'm not really sure when am I home and when am I working, and, you know, not that the boundaries are loose, but just that I'm living in such a way that I'm able to mentor, I guess. And so just that balance is really, you know, weaving those two things together as an entrepreneur and a mother takes planning and patience with myself mostly, right? Because we are really our hardest on ourselves. And I'm not a planner. I love to have just whimsical, creative, fun, and messy oftentimes. And I think that, you know, being a better planner and being a little more patient with myself is much better, makes things go a little easier. And my core values navigate where I spend my time and energy, hopefully, you know, leading to fewer obstacles.
Sure.
So if I really stick true to those, if I kind of check in with myself and I think, okay, am I stepping outside of my core values? Am I spending time in places that are not my greatest good? Then I can just reprioritize and be a little more patient and plan a little bit better.
Okay. I'd say that we get, like when we get comments, the biggest number one, hands down, especially for women in business, is learning how to balance and not having mom guilt. And I think that women have a tendency to, you know, when they're at work, they want to give their best work, but they're feeling guilty that they should be spending more time with their kids. And then when they're kids, they're feeling guilty that, you know, I need to be at work. And I know what advice I give them, but I'd love to hear that from you, because obviously that's something that you have worked through and probably it's still a work in progress. And like, do you have some advice for that? Because it is our number one question that we get for women, women in business.
Wow, I can definitely see that. And I do hear that a lot. And one thing that I always tell mothers and fathers that reach out is that if you are sharing or asking this question, it means that you're probably already doing a really good job. The fact that you're aware enough to feel guilty means that you're aware and in tune that you should maybe feel guilty or maybe should not feel guilty. But I think that the fact that if anybody has their mind even on it, you're on a good path. And to take time to find out, what are you winning at today? That's one question that I always ask. So it might be, we had breakfast without a struggle today. Or maybe, oh, I found this new cereal and it seems like every morning is no longer a struggle. Or I meal plan now instead of buying dinner on the fly, and wow, we save more money and my kids eat healthier, or whatever it may be. There could be small things that if you begin noticing the small things, you might start to notice bigger things where you really think, all right, so the whole day, you know, maybe the whole day, if we look at the whole day was a win. There might've been a moment in which you got distracted with a phone call, or there might have been a moment in which you weren't as patient with a meltdown. But if you look at the entire day and you set your days up intentionally to say, I might not have the entire day to be home with my family, but maybe I can dedicate 1 hour of total focus time to my family, or 2 hours, or 30 minutes, or whatever it can be. But start somewhere where you can say, I know that for this period of time, my family can count on me to be fully present. And it's such a starting point because conversations open up or play opens up and you just kind of get slightly decompressed. And they know that in that time, they totally have you. And it's just a really good place to start. Mm-hmm. And it's a good place to start to feel confident in yourself. And you can look forward to it. They can look forward to it. And if you just set that boundary on your calendar or with your assistant or your spouse or whatever it is, but we highly, highly recommend just taking that time and making it part of your plan.
I agree.
I think moments. Yeah. And that yeah. kind of will fade away.
Well, I'm all about like people feel guilty to schedule in like family time with kids or game night or whatever that looks like. And I'm like, this has got to be part of your schedule. Like your schedule is your schedule. And I think people get confused about that. Like I'm scheduling in my work stuff and then everything else is me trying to fit everything else in. And I'm like, no, you got to be I'm with you 100%. It's present. Learn to schedule the things that are important. And when you're in that moment, do your best at that thing. And yes. That's what I feel that moms a lot of time they don't do is it's like I schedule work and then everything else is wherever I can fit it in. But I'm a big proponent of schedule in everything that is important to you. If it is important to work out for your own physical and mental health, then schedule in time to work out because then you're going to be likely to do it. And when you're there doing it, be present 100%. And that's our biggest piece of advice. And it sounds like it goes right along with what you're suggesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're totally right.
Great. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Oh, and I'm sorry, Belinda, I wanted to circle back around too. I just had another thought. And, you know, even moms who choose to stay at home, they may not be able to be, they may not be present as much as that mom that goes to work and is fully present 1 hour, if that makes sense. You know, it's not about time, it's about quality time. So that just circled back around for me. So I didn't want to miss that.
You know what? I'm so glad you did because there is a really great point to that because that's the other thing that I hear is, well, because they might have a work from home business, right? And they're yes. like, I did this so I could be home with my kids. And I'm like, right? But you still can schedule in time for yourself. Like you can do that and it's okay. I even see it worse with stay-at-home moms who then really don't take care of themselves because somehow yes. that they are a stay-at-home mom, it has to be 100%. And you're right. It doesn't end up being really good quality versus if they would schedule in maybe some special fun activities, but then also scheduling in things for their own personal growth or if it is a small business that they do. But you got to schedule that in. And that's the other, I'm so glad you brought it up because it is another big proponent of this, of mom guilt.
Yeah, absolutely. And it absolutely.
Great. So let's talk about working from your happy place. What's that mean to you?
So once again, just being able to balance work and family, being able to properly prioritize so that I have energy for both. Just as you're saying, if I'm not taking care of myself, if I'm not filling up my own tank, I mean, you can't pour from an empty cup, right? You know, if I can't give water and energy to others if I don't have it for myself, if I'm not working out, if I'm not eating nutritious food, if I'm not resting, if I'm not reading, you know, I can't give to my children, much less inspire others to do the same. So I really think that being able to properly prioritize and schedule, just as you're saying, I mean, I schedule date night with my husband every week. We have a big kid date night. So our two oldest, we meet with them every Tuesday and have a big kid date night. So we can talk about big kid stuff without the little ones, you know, making a mess and mm-hmm. wreaking havoc. And then on Thursdays, date night with my husband. And that just really grounds my part. That in itself fills a lot of my tanks. But, you know, then also prioritizing self-care, everything from just getting my toenails painted so I feel feminine, you know, as silly mm-hmm. as that sounds, that I don't do a lot of things like have my hair done or get makeup done, but darn it, I will get my toenails done because I feel good about myself. And so, and that helps me work from my happy place. As crazy as that sounds, I think really filling my own tank to then guide others.
No, I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and being able to spend my time in high-level items that bring greatest results also. And then I just delegate or automate everything else. So I really, if I'm working in something and it feels too tedious, so this is my other half of that self-reflection, is being able to know what I'm not capable of also. So I love answering my own emails, but some people don't. So I do answer my own emails, but what I don't love is creating PDFs or spreadsheets. So I delegate that. And then there's things that we automate. So that's another thing of really working from my happy place, is I don't do those things that I don't like to do.
Right. Absolutely. Well, what advice would you give to others who are saying, gosh, you know, I'm actually going to ask you two questions. So the first is, sure, for those that want to be entrepreneurs, what advice would you give to that individual that's saying, I think maybe I do have a special passion, or I'd like to start a company doing XYZ?
Yes, absolutely. Entrepreneurship is not a straight line. It'll often, right? And it's not as sexy as it seems. It's kind of the opposite. It will often take longer and be far harder, far more difficult than you ever expected. If you know your values and you review them regularly, you will stay on a path that will be good for you. If you have values but you don't review them, if you have goals and you aren't regularly checking in with them, then you could quickly get off task and off purpose. I think that becoming an entrepreneur is often tied to your passion and your purpose. And so I would say, if you want to be an entrepreneur, it should be something that you are very passionate about, that feels closely tied to your purpose. And that will keep you somewhat from growing weary. And then just, you know, take some nourishment for the journey. Make sure that you know your values and review them regularly.
That's great. And what advice would you give to parents, just kind of right off the top of your head, though, but that want to make the most of these 18 summers? So obviously that's the name of your company. And so I would just love to just hear like a tiny bit of advice, and that might run people more to your site or find out more about what you have to offer.
Sure. So one thing that really, even though we actively, you know, live this life and participate wholeheartedly and try to be very focused in how we parent and educate our children, I was even shocked when I heard that statistic that you will spend 80% of all the time you will ever spend with your children by the time they're 18. Wow. 80%. And it's because they're home and it's because they're young and independent. And then once they go away, you think, you know, it's not that we only get 18 summers with our children. What's beautiful is that if you create that quality time and put in that effort now, and you really invest, it's like any other investment, right? So what you get out of it, what you put into it. And so if you're investing in your children over those 18 years at best, you know, that you get with your children at home, then you will see yields for the rest of your life. They will be connected. They will be around more. You will have deeper relationships with their children or their friends or their, you know, and it just truly, truly further creates a greater return for that investment you gave. Like I had said earlier, a big thing that I would suggest, especially with summer coming up, is look at your calendars, which we're so good at doing for business, and make sure that you plan out your family. So if that's, we're going to take this trip here and then not here, and, you know, just balancing that work, home life, whether it's, okay, maybe you could cut your days at work by 1 hour for the summer. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. each day, or even just one day a week by an hour, and that be fun Wednesday or whatever it may be, but just implementing little things that could bring you a little bit closer. We used to do, and we don't anymore just because of the ages of our children, but something fun that we used to do was on Fridays. I mean, Friday has always and forever been Pizza Friday. And I think that's probably for like half of America, but Pizza Friday. And then it used to be followed by our big boys got to choose a family movie on Friday. And it didn't matter if my husband and I liked it or not. That was what we were watching. And the boys loved so much that we trusted them to make the decision for the family. And it sounds simple, but it really created a little bit, it really created some camaraderie. In addition to like a pizza Friday, we used to do a game night Tuesday. I think you mentioned a game, you know, some games or game night earlier. That was a big thing for us too, was game night Tuesday. Now we try to include some of that entrepreneurial mindset that I told you in our game. So we do games like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, the rat race. I'm drawing a blank on the actual name of it, but it's a game on financial intelligence. And, you know, you get deals presented to you and you get to, and so it's just a fun thing to get their mind thinking toward a little bit of financial education while having a good time. Or we love the Covey game, Seven Habits of Happy Children, I believe it is. And it's a silly game, but you really get to know each other and you get to share things about each other. And it just really works on some of that, those sharing skills. So there's a lot of fun ways to get involved. Games are always a great way. Experiences are amazing. So that book I referenced earlier, The Family Board Meeting, we talk about getting one-on-one with your children, just like a board meeting. You know, you meet with your greatest investors once a quarter. Do the same thing with your children. Get one-on-one with them, no interruptions, and just go play and have fun. And it's a great investment to see what they're into, to deepen the conversation. And so I really encourage everyone to set up some rhythms and stick to them. So whether it's one night a week, you create, you know, I call these like pillars or islands of consistency, something that you know is going to be there and you can look forward to it. That's really the way of harnessing that quality time.
That's awesome. So I have two older children who are in their 30s, and then I have a 14-year-old. So
fun.
We've always done like Sunday game night, like, you know, like late Saturday after Sunday afternoon into like early evening has always been sort of game night. And we've kind of always continued in that. And in fact, you know, and it's not every Sunday now, but on Sundays, the older kids will come too, and then we still all play games. And in fact, it's really funny and it's silly, but I always have said to them in choosing, you know, a person that they wanted to date or be with, I'm like, they have to pass game night. And if they can't pass game night, because you'll see a lot of the real person come out and playing games together. And they're right. Like, they're so funny. They'll be like, you are so right. They did not pass game night. That was a huge eye opener.
That is so wonderful. I love that. Absolutely. So you've got it. And it's a great, like you're saying, it's a great terminology. Like you have the shared vocabulary with your children. They know exactly what you're talking about. Like she will not pass game night.
That's awesome. So what are some new and exciting things that you are working on and that you think our listeners could benefit from? And then make sure, again, tell us where they can find you.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. So we have the Family Board Meeting book. And in addition to the book, we just released an app that helps you track that quality time with your children or with your spouse. So it's just a basic app. You go in and it's kind of like a Google Calendar, except it asks you questions like, what did you do today? Who was there? A couple of pictures and maybe you could, you know, some reflections. And so it's kind of like a yearbook and you can open the app up and just see all of your meetings with each, you know, and who it was with. So it's a pretty cool way to commemorate those moments of quality time or to even track them so that you know, when did I hang out? You know, when did I do that with that person? Because sometimes we think it was last week and it was like last month or last year.
Exactly.
And time just really flies. We are starting our next book. It is based on the Education Matrix, which is that curriculum that I mentioned to you, that entrepreneur education that focuses on those things that are not taught in school. And so we're starting that book in the fall. We do have a private Facebook community. You can find us under 18 Summers and ask to join that. We're on, also we're on Instagram. Sorry, I'm going through all of them. On Instagram at 18, just the number 18, Summers with an S on the end, Tribe, 18 Summers Tribe. We share all of our podcasts on there, interviews, pictures really of our family doing life together, tidbits on the Education Matrix and on the board meeting strategy and other rhythms that we do. Where else can you find us? Well, that might be a good start. We are on LinkedIn, perfect, but we're not quite as active there. Yeah, but okay, we do love to hear and connect. And like I said, I do love answering. I do like to answer my own email. So, you know, if you write us, we're there. So we sometimes do some retreats or family group mentoring through on the computer. So it's a distance thing. So we do have a lot of opportunities to connect and mentor families, both in person and long distance.
Perfect. Well, Jamie, this has been delightful, and I just want to thank you so much. I think that the saying everybody always says is, where did the time go? And it seems like they were just little yesterday, and that's so true of everybody. And being mindful of, you know, spending that time, quality time with your kids through those years that you have them, those 18 years, if you will, at home, is so important, and it does make them want to come back for game night every Sunday. So thank you so much, because I know that, you know, time gets away from us, and gosh, we don't want to squander it away. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Belinda. It was lovely to meet you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.